I thought the whole church would rock on that statement, but God, I thank you for that one, because I'll take that one myself. Verse 4, for the angels went down at a certain season in the pool, troubled the water, and whoever, somebody say whoever, whoever got in first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, can you imagine the pool? You got all these people around this pool, and this pool is supposed to be where the miracles happen. You got all of these lame people laying around all over, and they're trying to get into the pool, but they can't get into the pool only at the exact time when the angel of the Lord comes down and stirs the pool, and then the first one that gets in gets healed. Can you imagine what a ruckus that would be? I always wondered about that. But you know what? I doubt it. Because you know how many people heard that I was going to be here preaching? A whole lot more folk that showed up. I spoke the other day in Cerritos, and the CEO came to me and apologized. He said, Jeff, there were a whole lot more folk that was supposed to show up than this. And you say, I said, you know what, Paul? Don't matter to me. It's the same thing as the people laying around the pool of Bethesda. We have become so numb. We've become so numb, so callous. I wonder if the people at the pool of Bethesda would not just sit there and go, hey, Bob, you're going to go jump in the water stirring. Nah, I've seen this before. You know what, Joe, by the time I get my crutches underneath of me, and by the time I get enough force, by the time I get down to that water, somebody go beat me to it. So I think I'll just settle in, maybe wait for, you know, it's just not my time yet. I think I'll wait for the next stirring. I'm just going to sit right back down here. You know what I learned? I cannot help you up out of your mess. You got to want it so stinking bad that you will do anything it takes to get out of the hell that you're in. I'm telling you what, women, when you gave birth to that first baby, if you felt an inkling of that pain, you wanted that pain over with as quick as possible. The only thing that got you through the pain was the promise that was attached to the other end. That's why it's so psychologically damaging and hurtful for a woman to give birth to a stillborn baby, because the pain was for stinking nothing. And I'm talking to and I'm looking at people who thought their pain was for stinking nothing. I tried that and it didn't work. I tried that Jesus stuff and it didn't work. I tried to do what the preacher said. I tried to do what my mom said. I tried to do what the counselor told me. I tried to do. We had a woman in here not too long ago when I was preaching, stood up and started talking about, I've been on this wagon. I've been in this wagon since 1990s, in the late 90s, and nothing's changing for me.
Right.
You know why? Because you're not changing.
That's right.
That is the hard truth of the gospel. And if the church would start preaching, hey, God is not a slot machine. He ain't going to fix your life. Don't you come up here and say, come to Jesus. Life is going to be okay. No, 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 no. Life is either going to be or it's not going to be, either with or without him. I'm telling you what, your eternal destination is in the hands of Christ, but your earthly one is in your hands, baby, unless you sell out all of it. And then even when you say, Father, I can't handle this anymore, help me. Monday morning, Father ain't going to grab you by the nape of the neck and drag you out of bed and put your pants on and take you to work and take you to school. You got to help you. If you don't help you, nobody is going to.
Amen.
You think I make it? Look at the man's attitude in the story. Verse 5, and there was a certain man that was there 38 years. How long do you want to be in where you are at? When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had now been there a long time. John chapter 5, verse 6, in case you didn't know where we were at. What is the first question that Jesus asked the man? Come on, somebody help me preach this. Do you want to be healed? Now, you got to turn that into your language. You look at somebody and ask them, do you want to be healed? You know what I would do? I'd look myself in the mirror every morning. I'd say, do you want? You know, it'll rip you up one side and down the other. Start looking at your own reflection. I'll be sitting on the mountaintop in the morning praying, and I'm looking down, and my iPad has gone to black, but there's my own reflection. And I look at this man staring back at me. And I start thinking, my God, do you really want this job? Do you really want this? How bad do you want this? How bad do you want it? Jesus said this. He said, do you want to be made whole? There is nothing more powerful than your will. Your will is most powerful. I've been a hospice chaplain for many years. I'm around people who are dying. In fact, I help people die. Go do that one. But what I find most is that the people who are dying are really afraid to die. Number one, because they don't know what's on the other side. And number two, because they are not fulfilled in their life. They are leaving with stuff undone that they wished they could do again.
Yeah.
I've buried people that have been 25, 45, 85, 95. They all say the same thing. Baby, you have breath in you. Look yourself in the mirror. Get rid of those excuses and say, God, I don't care what. How? But I ain't leaving until I'm done. I talked to a woman who I got a new patient. I talked to her daughter just yesterday. And she told me, she said, Jeff, my brother-in-law died at an early age. He was diagnosed with cancer, a very rapid form of cancer. And listen to what the doctor asked. Ask her, is your brother a fighter? She said, I don't think so. The doctor said, that will determine whether he lives or dies. I've met people, I've met people that will fight over stinking turf. I've met people that will pack a gun, a knife, and slit your throat for stepping on their land. But when death comes knocking at their door, when opportunity comes to give them a possibility of changing, they are nothing but a coward. They will not stand up and defend the life that God has given them. Put down the gun, stupid, and pull up the self that God has created you to be and do something with your life. My God, we should have thousands. Said an old stinking white boy from Goshen, Indiana. What does he know about the hood? I came from Goshen, Indiana, and I went to Inglewood, California. I grew up in Inglewood when I moved here to California. Oh, God, just rocked your world, didn't I? I was green, stupid, naive, staying with some friends. First weekend I was there, they're jumping in this 12-year-old kid in the back of my parking lot. He was 12. There was probably 15 guys, three times his size on each of them. And he has to get from this end to that end alive. And if he comes out alive, he's a man and accepted into the Klan. I went outside, and I'm going to break it up. I'm stupid. I'm from Goshen, Indiana. I have no clue what a gang is. Never seen a gang in my life. But I'm going to go break it up because this is not right. And the woman of the house that I was staying with, she said, Jeff, if you value your life, I would stay inside if I were you. And I sat there inside peeking through the windows because now I'm scared. Got pee-pee running down my leg. I think I'm peeking through the windows because I'm so scared. And I'm watching them beat the daylights out of this kid. And then the same one who beat him put his arm around him and welcomed him into the Klan.
Yeah.
Now you listen to me. That same one who welcomed you in the Klan, if it's his hiney or yours, it's going to be yours. Did you just hear what I said?
Yes.
After they give you their solemn truth, they'll cut their blood, they'll cut their wrist and put their blood on yours. But I'm telling you what, baby, if it comes to his life or yours, he's going to cut your throat so that he can live. Let me expose that demon, that life. I'll tell you what, baby, if you want it, go for it. I can't help you. But you know what? I could show you that if you take that same ambition, that same... Do you know how much guts it takes to let somebody beat your brains out for 12 feet and call yourself a man or a woman? If you take that energy and bottle it, I can make you a millionaire. I can make you the person on the other side of the street that's got the house, that's got the car, that's got the family, that's got the kids, that you and I sit on this side of the tracks going, oh my God, I wish I had that. It's luck. It's only them people that get it. That is a stinking lie. You, that little one right there, me, every one of us have been breathed the breath of life by God himself in. We have the ability to change. But it is if it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to me. My friend Michael, deep in Mexican mafia gang, held his wife. They used to do, him and his wife did heroin together. He held his wife as she died. Michael was deep in. Mike was big time. I've watched the hand of God on that man's life. That he is not afraid of anything. He is now preaching the gospel to the people that used to threaten to kill him. And I've watched the power of God come upon that man and watch him preach. And I've watched those gang people come up with tears in their eyes and give their hearts to Christ while that man preaches the gospel. There's a greater power in you. 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 There's a greater force in you. You tap into that force and you will wreck the stinking, destructive cycle that has been going on in your life forever. Choose this day whom you shall serve. Are you with me? Can I have just a couple more minutes? Watch this. Verse 6, Jesus said, will you be made whole? Verse 7, the impotent man, impotent man answered him, sir, I have, what?
No man,
when the opportunity is right, to push me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps in before me. I have no man. I was preaching in Alabama. I had preached a week-long revival between Alabama and Georgia. And I was on the jetway walking back to the plane when I was coming back to California, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me, Jeff, tell them that he is not coming. Now, that really rocked my world because we're all thinking Jesus is going to come and bail us out of this place. If you're waiting for Jesus to come and split the eastern sky to rescue you, might I suggest you have plan B? Because, baby, hear me, you're going to waste your life. If he comes, pack, baby. If he comes tomorrow, we're all in glory. But if he doesn't show up for 600 more years, a lot of us are going to be in trouble. Oh, dear, I'm wrecking somebody's philosophy because we bank on the fact that, oh, tomorrow he might come and I get out. Tomorrow he might come and I get out. Tomorrow he might come and I get out. Well, in the meantime, 10 years have gone by, 20 years have gone by, 30 years have gone by, 60 years have gone by. Now you're going, I hope he comes tomorrow because I'm almost. Now you're there, baby. Just cross over. Come on, somebody. What do you do when you get to heaven and God says, Jeff, I had 65 more years for you. I had more for you than what you did. How long did you to accomplish this? Really? Me? I had no man to push me in. I've waited on a man to come and help me all of my life until I became the man that God needed me to be to help myself.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good.
that spirit on you. That's self-sufficient, self-determined. Change my life. Change mine. That was life. Change my life. Change this life that's in me. It's me, Lord. Now you show me. Here I am. I'm nothing without you. You show me and I'll follow. You lead the way and I'm going. You start pursuing life like that, friend, and change is going to come. We used to sing that old song, change. Change is going to come.
I have no one to push me in the pool. I have no one to push me in. And Jesus said what? Rise, take up thy bed, and do walk. Do what? Walk. What time are we? 11:14. I got to close. I want you, if you're taking notes, to write these things down. How do I do this, Jeff? How, in God's name, do I do this? How do I change? Number one, you have to believe. You have to believe. I'm not going to preach them. I'm going to give them to you. You have to believe. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to them that, what? Believe. Romans 12:2 says what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is why most infants are born head first. Your new life is born head first. You can never change the outside until the inside is changed. Totally transform your entire life. Write this down. Think about what you're thinking about. Watch it. Think about what you're thinking about. And if you want to go a step further, write down and keep track of what you're thinking about. Just for a day. And at the end of that day, go back and review what you're thinking about. It will show you who you are. And it'll show you why you are the way you are. Number one, you have to what?
Believe.
You have to believe. Believing is accepting something as your truth. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, baby, here's $20. Go to McDonald's and get yourself something to eat. Because I'm not going to do you any good. I'm not being arrogant. I'm telling you. You have to believe. Is it that simple? Yeah. How do you get saved? Well, you hold up your right foot and you hop around in circles on your left foot. And then if you do it that way and you can stay up for 16 and a half hours and you don't shut your eyes and you pray all night long and then you get to... If it's that hard, I don't want anything to do with it. But if it's that easy, I don't believe it. We want it easy. But when somebody hands it to us easy, we say there must be more to it than that.
Give it.
Who wants it? Come, now. It's yours, take it. No, you go. You sit. It's yours.
Praise God. Wow.
You gotta believe. You gotta believe.
Yes.
Number two, you have to become aware.
Become aware. Think about what you're thinking about. Become aware. Be aware of your emotions. Be aware of your thinking. Be aware of how you respond to opportunity. Become aware. Pay attention. Life leaves clues. Sitting at Starbucks, minding your own business, and there's a conversation two tables away, and the conversation has got your attention. There's a reason why. There's God is speaking to you through that other person. Listen to what is being said. Pay attention when you're driving down the road, or you're in your room here, or you're cleaning, or whatever you're doing here at the facility, and there's a song that comes on the radio, and you start getting tears in your eyes. Pay attention. God is speaking to you. Number one, you got to believe. Number two, you got to become aware.
Number three, you've got to confront what you believe is truth. Now, I'll cover some of these things in detail the next time I come back. I just want to give them to you right now. Number one, you have to believe. Number two, you have to become aware. Number three, you have to confront your truth.
You're never going to make anything of yourself. You know, mom never made anything of herself, or dad, you know, that. Because what you hold true is who you are. The truth, what you believe is true.
I'm gonna save it for next time when I come back. Number one, believe. Number two, become aware. Number three, confront your truth. Number four, there's only five, stay with me. Number four is resist and pull down.
Resist and pull down.
Resist and pull down. And number five is rebuke and replace. Rebuke and replace.
Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You start to pay attention to the thoughts that come in your mind. Those thoughts become our identity. We have to confront those thoughts. We have to challenge them and go, what gives you the right to tell me that? Don't just let every thought go through your head undetected and unconfronted. Am I making sense? Does this make sense at all? Do you, you know what I mean when I'm talking about paying attention to your thoughts? You ever have evil thoughts?
Yes.
You ever have thoughts where you just want to blow somebody's head off? Boom. Just get rid of everything. You ever have thoughts? Don't answer the question. You ever have thoughts you want to blow your own head off? That's what, this is what, oh, can I help you? This is what I was trying to help this one young lady with me the other day. I met a woman who walked in on one of my meetings one time, sister. She was still close to 400 pounds then. She was up over 600 before I met her. Her son, 20 years old, ran across the freeway, was hit by a car and decapitated by the impact. They never allowed the woman, the law enforcement, see her son because his body was so mangled and it tripped something in her head. She could never get over it, and she ate herself almost to death. Got up over 600 pounds, had lost close to 300 before I met her, and she was still battling the demons in her head. You and I battle demons in our head. It is not the devil, it is the enemy in me. It is an identity created by a situation that I have been through in my life. I've left on the corner, nobody loves me. I'm left at a home on the doorstep, nobody loves me. The voice in my head, nobody loves me, never going to amount to anything. That becomes our truth. Sooner or later, we have to wake up and go, you are not my truth any longer.
Amen.
Come on. I resist you. I rebuke you. I take authority over you. Sit down and shut up.
Amen.
I walked down the streets of Long Beach doing that. Shut up. Shut up. And when people do it every day, come on. They do it every day. Why not you do it with a cause?
I'm telling you. You say, well, you don't do that, Jeff.
I surely do. I just try to be a little inconspicuous about it so nobody thinks I'm a weirdo. I'm telling you. I woke up beside myself. There I was laying there, and I heard all these thoughts going through my head. You're never going to make it. Never going to do anything. You're never going to be rich. Never going to be rich. Your ministry is never going to go. You're not going around the world. You anointed. You're not anointed. You come from Goshen, Indiana. How could anything be anointed come from Goshen, Indiana? You've always been small. Your dad's been small. You've been small. Your mom's been small. Small. And all of a sudden, I'm depressed. And then depression starts speaking to you and says your name is depressed. It is clinical. You're depressed. It's clinical. You're depressed. It's clinical. Oh, my God. And then when the demons in your head get control over your mouth and you begin to say, I am.
Oh, my God.
Baby, whatever follows your I am, you are. I would write it down. Whatever follows your I am, you are. Whatever follows your I am, you are. Well, I'm stupid. Well, yes, yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep, that's right.
See, I can't argue with what you say you are.
Say that.
I can't argue with you. What have you been calling yourself? I'm shifting gears. I wanted to stop. This is so important. This is so important. The one who tells you you're not presents itself as truth. That's why it becomes a stronghold in our lives. And then when we go to the doctor validates it by our symptoms that we're going through, and we believe the doctor. But the preacher comes in, sweats his butt off, trying to tell you that you're in Christ, and you go, oh, I've heard that before.
Oh,
are you following me? I think I'm like a wrecking ball. I come in and just crash the place up. Because I want to see your face, and I want to see her face or his face. I want to see his face, not on a milk carton.
Amen.
I want to see MVP below the name on the trophy, on the mantle.
Well, that's really not possible. Do you know where she came from? There you are again.
Are you following me? That's that stupid demon in my head. But friend, listen to me. It is not the devil. It's you. It's the you in you. The Apostle Paul says, there's one in me that just drives me up a wall. The things that I should do, can't do. The things that I want to do, the things that I don't want to do. There I go. He said, oh, wretched man am I. You ever feel like that? I feel like that. I feel like Sybil, schizophrenia. Let me tell you, whoever is up there that wins, whoever finally says I am, that's who you are, baby. How do you defeat that? You confront that truth, and you go, I am not stupid, I am smart.
There you go.
I'm not afraid, I'm courageous. Because when you first start to do this, the you makes you think you're a fool. You know what? Nobody's around. You lousy punk. Let me tell you, get up there and just punk you right in the nose.
There you go.
Because that's a me. It's another form of me. It's a me that's trying to survive. It's a me that's trying to determine my life. It's a me that's trying to dictate my future. And I am the only one that has the authority over me.
Amen. Amen.
I take my rightful place in Christ, the finished work of God in me, and it is in Christ that I pull down that stronghold and say, you do not know who you are messing with.
Say that.
You come around this hole one more time without depression, and I'm going to bury you 6 foot under.
Amen.
I love the mural on the wall, but if I lived here, I wouldn't want anything on my wall. I wouldn't want to get comfortable where I'm not supposed to be. Do not put up a plant in your transformational living. You are not destined to be here. You are destined to pass through here. And if you get too comfortable with where the pot is at, you will call this your lot in life, and you will never achieve to be anybody that God has created you to be.
Don't go messing up Pastor Al's walls. Don't do that.
I love that. But it is the point that I'm making to you. What's hanging on your wall? Get uncomfortable with where you're at.
Because I'm telling you what, baby, you know when the baby's about coming. Walking like this. You bite everybody's head off. Ice cream, candy, whatever. Get out of my way.
You got some stuff in you. You got to get out of here.
That's right. I'm telling you what, when you give birth to that thing, baby, it is going to have glory of the Lord written all over it.
Amen.
If you do not have the will to live for yourself, have the will to change the life of the one in you. Use everything you got to change your life. But if you can't change yours, if you don't motivate yourself enough, if you are not high enough pull to get you up out of that mess, put the picture of your unborn up on the mirror. Put the picture of the baby up here. Give yourself a reason for getting up and getting out.